Hey, good evening, Grace Point, YouTube, Facebook. It's great to see everybody. Hope you're all doing great. I got my faithful two over here to my left. Then we got Minty and Brian with us. Hey, just welcome to Grace Point Live. It's Wednesday night and it's teaching time. So we're going to delve into Romans chapter 6 today. So praise the Lord. I'm really excited about it. I've been studying this. And actually, you know, I've been studying this my whole life. I've studied Romans 6 for years and trying to get a good grip on it. And I hope that you can really learn something from it. This is one of the best scriptures, one of the pinnacles of scripture that's in the Bible. And what I want you to do, there are some points I'm going to make. And if you have a pen and paper and you feel comfortable, you can write it down in your Bible or get a pen and pad and just write it down in a pad, some of the points I'm going to make. And it's going to be very important. When we go into Romans 7, the things that you've learned in Romans 6 are going to be very important because many teachers, I believe, butcher Romans 7. It's almost like when they go into Romans 7, they forget everything that Paul said in Romans 6. They undo it. And then, of course, Romans 8 just reinforces what Paul said in Romans 6. And they really butcher it. And Romans 7 is not hard to understand. There's a few key points there that can keep us right on target. But I'm going to do my best to just kind of stick to Romans 6. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, then we'll get into the Word. Father, thank you for Wednesday night Bible study. I don't know who's out there, Lord, or maybe some folks will watch it later, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to teach. And I just pray, Lord, that everything I say will be guided by the Holy Spirit. I pray that you help me be restrained where I should, try to keep my own opinions out, and keep your Word and your truth at the forefront tonight. Bless the hearers in their hearing, and Lord, bless my speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So let's just go ahead and break right into Romans chapter 6. So as we get into this, the first words are, what shall we say then? So that is a summation statement. And what Paul, he's getting into right away, he says, what shall we say then? Well, the reason he says that is he's talking about everything he said up until that point. And you know, if you've been a Bible student any length of time at all, that there were no verses and chapters in these books originally. Paul wrote a letter to the Roman church, and there were no chapters and verse. He's just writing a letter. So he makes all these points. He comes up, and he crystallizes his argument about justification by faith, about our identification in Christ, about being made righteous. You know, and he says, well, what shall we say then? He's done all this discussion about grace, hasn't he? Anybody remember that out there? You wave your hand. Yeah, he's been talking about grace and forgiveness and justification. So now he's going to talk a little bit about holiness and sanctification. So he asked this question, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound or that grace may increase? Now I want to ask you out there, what's the answer to this? What's your answer? Should we go on sinning so grace increases? More sin, more grace. Well, Paul says immediately, God forbid, may it never be, amen? Or by no means, three different, that's King James, New American Standard, and New International Version. By no means, no. So Paul was saying right now, we don't continue to sin so God's grace abounds. God does not give us grace so we can sin. And one of the big errors in certain teaching is people think because you're saved by grace, somehow that gives you a license to sin. And the Word of God says just the opposite. You can find nowhere in scriptures. And remember, and this was my point Sunday. I know I gave kind of a serious message Sunday, but my point Sunday was the Word of God is our truth. We got to put our faith in the scriptures. And of course, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to understand it and rightly divide it. But the Word of God is what we put our faith in and our trust in. And nowhere in the Word of God do you see any apostle or any teacher tell you that it's a, God gave you grace so you could just keep on sinning, or somehow he winks on it. The actual idea is that God has given you grace. In the book of Titus, it says, teaching us to deny ungodly lust. And if you read over in, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2, he tells you that God's given you grace. He's freed you from the pollutions of this world. He's given you grace to free you from sin. That's what we're going to learn about here. It is a false doctrine to say that you are saved by grace and now it doesn't matter what you do. Or you're saved by grace and you can sin and you're just going to go to heaven and there's no issue with it. Okay, that's not true. Okay, he says, by no means. And then he tells you why. And this is the part that you have to take home with you. So I want you to write down in your notepad that you have, is God's expectation for me to keep on sinning? And write down, by no means. And then you could say, well, why is that? And Paul tells you, he says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So Paul even tells you the reason. Paul is telling you that you actually, not figuratively, but literally, you died to sin. You should write that down. That's never going to change. Forever and ever, and even as we move forward in this letter, that never changes. You as a Christian are dead to sin. And that idea and that thought is throughout the rest of the New Testament. And it's not an isolated thought. You died to sin. He says, don't you know? And I like that. Don't you know? Hasn't anybody taught you? When you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death. Pam, you were literally baptized into his death. Is that just talking about water baptism there? No. We know from 1 Corinthians 12:13 and other texts, you were baptized into Christ. You were placed in Christ by God. So literally, when Jesus was crucified, spiritually, you were there with him. When Jesus was buried, you were buried with him. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised with him. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And a lot of people think that means like you're going to praise him and, you know, he's drawing all men to it. No, it means literally when he was lifted up on the cross, he drew all men to him and he died our death. It was our literal sins that he bore in his body on the tree, 1 Peter 2. And it was our literal old man, our old sinful nature that he died to on the tree as well. So you were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now hear this. You were crucified with Christ. That's identification. Spiritually, you were buried with him. You could say you were entombed with Christ. You were dead. You died to sin. You were buried. And he said the reason that happened is so that you could experience a resurrection, or that you could experience new life in Jesus. All through faith in the operation of God. That's in Colossians chapter 2. Through faith in the operation of God. It says, now we can live a brand new life. And this is talking about exchange. We're going to live an exchange life. We were crucified, we were buried, we were entombed, and we're raised. Let's read the next verse. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old man, and it, the word is anthropos there, it means man. Our old man, or our old self, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Or King James says that the body of sin might be destroyed. Paul is telling us that our old sinful self, or our old man, and it's really the old creation, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Get this, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So write this down. I am no longer a slave to sin. You, my brother and sister, are set free from sin. You may be sinning. You may not believe that you're free from sin, and that's your problem. That's where your weakness is. You don't believe it. It's the same thought again that Paul says in John chapter 8. It's the same thought again in 1 Peter 2, or 2 Peter 2. He says, you were slaves of sin, but you have been set free. What Jesus did on the cross was enough. That's why the Bible talks about the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us that believe, the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Why? Because that's where your sinful self, the old person you used to be, died. And now you can understand the terminology, Tracy, like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, therefore, if any man or any woman be in Christ, they're a new creature. They're a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. And when we realize that, and we realize we're a new person, then when anger comes at us, or evil desire, or lust, or some sin, when we really realize that this isn't who I am, and we realize it's an outside force coming at our mind or coming at our body, that we can put our faith in the power of the resurrected Christ and his work in us, we can walk in the Spirit, and we can walk free from sin. And that's what Paul was teaching here. Let me go on a little bit. I'm going to jump over to Ephesians 1, but let me go on a little bit. This here is the power of the gospel right here. When Paul in chapter 1, verse 16 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, remember last week, mentee, to everyone that believes. It's the power of God unto salvation. This is the gospel right here. He says, anyone who has died, get this, has been freed from sin. You should write that down. I have been free from sin. Let's say you have a worrying problem. You know worry is a sin. Let's say you have a fear problem. You know fear is a sin. Let's say you have a lust problem. We know that lust is a sin, okay? Say you have a drinking problem. You know, you get drunk. I'm not saying you have a sip of beer or something, but you get drunk. You have a drinking problem. That's a sin. If you take these scriptures and you put your faith in what Jesus did for you, you can literally meditate on these scriptures, not just here, Galatians 2:20, Colossians 2:20, Colossians 3, they're all over. And you can meditate on these and you can declare out of your mouth what you believe in your heart, Romans 10:10. I died to worry. I died to fear. And I am alive to faith. I died to worry. I'm living to the love of God. I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We believe that. We put our faith in that. You can meditate. I died to lust. My body does not control me anymore. I am dead to sin. And that really, we're going to get into this. It really becomes a choice for us. Because, write it down, I am free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives for God. In the same way, consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. It says the same way that Jesus died to sin, and now he lives for the Father. He says in the same way, you are to count on, one translation says, count on this. Count on the fact that you're dead to sin. Paul was telling you, believe it. Consider yourself dead to sin. What sin is bugging you right now? What sin is working in your life? For me right now, I have to really be careful that I don't get into strife, okay? Because there's so much going on in the world, and there's just, it's so easy to get into strife. And I have to constantly consider, no, I'm dead to strife. I don't live in strife. I live in peace. I'm not walking in strife. I'm not walking in sin. I am walking in the love of God. I died to strife. I'm alive to Jesus. So Paul tells you not only to consider yourself dead to sin, but now there's a positive. And you know, Tracy, if all you did was say, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to sin, but you never considered yourself alive to God, it wouldn't do you any good. It's not just that you're dead to sin, and you are dead to sin if you're in Christ. And it's not just that you are dead to sin, it's that you're alive to God. All the old things that you used to be, all the old sins and all the old the mastery that the devil had over your life, all that stuff in God's world is passed away, and God has put the nature of his Son in you, and he's filled you with the Holy Spirit, and your whole life now is new. Why do you think the Word tells us that we're dead to this world? How are you dead to this world? Because the old person you were born was born into this world, and you live for this world. You are under the control and power of Satan. That's clear from Scripture. This old person you used to be, the old sinful self, and you were bound to this world. You live for this world. You live for the world's praise. It's a claim. You live for success in the world or whatever the sins in the, whatever your flesh wanted. You were controlled by the desires of your sinful flesh, your sinful nature. But in Christ, you actually died to this world and you passed out of this world's touch. That's what it means when it says you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. You've been raised up and seated with him. You've actually been removed from this world spiritually, and you've been identified with Christ. And although our bodies are in this world, we are joined spiritually. And I really think the kingdom of God or the heavenly realm is really more of a dimension. I know there is a heaven, like a physical heaven, like far away. I believe that. But there is a spiritual realm. And in that realm, you right now are joined with Jesus. You know the Bible says that, right? That you are joined with Jesus. You know the Bible says that you are one spirit with the Lord. What does that mean to you, that you're one spirit? That's why we don't sleep with prostitutes, Paul says. That's why we don't commit fornication, Paul says. Because if you join yourself bodily to a prostitute, you're taking Christ who is in you, in your body, and you are joining Christ to that prostitute. Because Christ is in you, and the members that you have, your physical members, Jesus is living in you by the Spirit, and you're now joining your physical body and Jesus to that prostitute. He says, you can't do that. Consider, go over to Galatians 6:14, and Paul says there, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world, that's the world system, was, King James says is, but it's was, every other translation says was or has been, the world was crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. That's why John says, love not the world. Why? You don't live in the world anymore spiritually. You now live in the kingdom. You've been born again. You've passed into the spiritual realm. You're with Jesus. You literally have been baptized into the Spirit. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. You have been baptized into Jesus, and that's your new identity. You are not who you used to be. You're a new creation. You're a new person. Sin doesn't fit anymore, Pammy. Sin doesn't fit anymore. And this is not for you, Pam, but those temper tantrums that you go through, that's like an old garment, Minty. It doesn't fit you anymore. Anger, bitterness, wrath, that's an old garment. Those clothes don't fit you no more. That's not who you are. That is who you used to be. And Paul was telling you, count on that fact. That's called faith. You're putting your faith in the facts that you're a new person. And then count on the fact that you are alive to God. Dead to this world, alive to God. And you are alive to God. Now look at this next. This next verse is really, really good. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Now, he's very specific here, Menti. He says mortal body because he's not talking about your spiritual body. I don't have time to get into it. I really believe when he says body in verse 6, he's talking about your old man or your old spiritual body there. I don't have time to really get into it, but he's very specific here. He says mortal body. He says because you died to sin, because you are alive to God, and you need to write this down. You need to write down, I am not to let sin rule in my body. So, Pam, whose choice is it then? Tracy, whose choice is it? Menti, whose choice is it? Brian, whose choice is it? The sound man's awful quiet back there. All right. It's your choice whether you let sin. Paul was saying it's up to you whether you let sin reign in your body. Now, I'm going to talk like about alcoholism because I know some people get addicted and they have trouble with alcohol. The word says that you are no longer a slave to alcohol. You've got to put your faith in that reality. You have to believe the gospel that you are not a slave. No more than I used to be a servant of lust. I've said it before many times. I used to be a very lustful young man. I am no longer a slave to lust. I died to that. No more than I'm allowed, or I should let my members be servants of lust, no more should you let your body be addicted to drugs or alcohol. Paul says, let not. You'll say, Brother Brad, I struggle. Well, if you struggle, you need to start snuggling. You need to meditate in these words and put your faith in the gospel if you're a born-again creature. If you've repented of your sins and you've given your life to Jesus, you've called on his name, you've received Christ, you need to put your faith in the fact that you are dead to alcoholism. Believe it. Count on it. What happens if I stumble? Get right up, throw it away, go right back, say, no, I'm dead to that. I stumbled. Lord, forgive me. I am dead to it. And count on the grace of God. We're going to get into that grace part here. Count on the grace of God to empower you and to fill you and to thrill you and keep you free from those evil desires. And I would get right into Romans 6 and other scriptures, and I would meditate on it until I believed it, and I would speak it out of my mouth. You need to give God something to work with. That's why salvation works like this, Pam. In Romans 10:10, which we may get to, he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto salvation. And with the mouth, confession, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we take what we believe in our heart, the gospel. I am dead to sin. That's the gospel truth. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how unfettered. That is the gospel truth. That's the reality of faith. I am dead to sin and I am alive to righteousness. Jesus is Lord of my life. I am no longer a servant to sin. We say that, what we believe, out of our mouth. That's called faith. And our faith in the reality of the gospel produces the power of the gospel in our life. Back to Romans 1:16, Tracy. The gospel, the good news about what Jesus did for you, is the power of God for your deliverance. It's the power of God for your righteousness. It's the power of God for your freedom from sin. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, that's going to be your problem then. One man, I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth, said, any man, no matter how bad he is fettered by sin, can be free if he believes the gospel. No matter how bad you are fettered by sin, if you put your faith in the gospel. So we are to count on the fact that we are dead to sin, and we are not to present our bodies as servants of sin. He says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. This is what I said Sunday. And I know I spoke a strong word Sunday. Hey, and I'll say it again. I believe Marxism is of the devil. Everywhere Marxism and communism has been, people are suppressed and murdered. That's demonic. And if you don't like it or care for it or believe it, I'm sorry. It's just the truth. But I don't hate Marxists. I believe adultery is a sin. I don't hate adulterers. When I said Sunday, I'm preaching to the church. If I go out in the world and I talk to people, you know, I'm not coming at them and blasting them for their sins. If I ran into a homosexual couple out there in the world, I'm not going to come at them and blast. I'm going to talk to them and try to create a relationship and love them because I do love them. Amen. I love people. I died to malice. I don't hate anybody. I died to judgment, which means censoriousness or condemning other people. I can say what sin is. Sin is sin. The Bible's clear about it. You can judge a tree by its fruit, but I'm not anybody's personal judge. And I go out in the world and preach to people. I preach Jesus. I preach they should turn from their sins. But I was preaching to the church. The church can't be deceived about these things. If you love Jesus, and that's what the word says. It says in 1 John, it says, beloved now, this is 1 John 3, it says, beloved now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. When you see Jesus as he is, you see a reflection of yourself because Jesus lives in you. He says, any man or any woman that has this hope in them purifies themselves. So if you're a Christian and you have this hope that you're going to be just like Jesus and you're waiting for his return, you are going to purify yourself and you should want to. You should not be looking for excuses to continue in sin. If you are, you are not walking in your salvation, and that is not pleasing to the Father. He loves you. He desires you. He wants to now help you. Now, I've said this a lot of times, too. If you are struggling and you want to do right, but you're struggling and you're just not getting it, God will walk to hell and back with you. He will have mercy and grace on you. You know, there are some sins in our life that are unwillful. Has anybody been, you know, bound? God is going to walk to hell and back with you. And even the sinner, Jesus went to Hades, the abode of the dead, for sinners. He bore your sins. He's not trying. If you're a sinner, if you don't know the Lord out there, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He's taking care of your sin problem. What he wants you to do is put your faith in him, put your sins on him, confess the fact that you need a Savior, you need the Lord, and give your life to him and allow him to change you from the inside out. And he'll be very patient with you as change begins to work in your life. That's called grace, okay? But Sunday, I'm preaching to Christians. You've been a Christian. You know, we can't keep walking in the deception of the enemy. We We can't keep walking under the lies. I was talking a lot about the lies of the devil. And we can't walk in deception and lies. We have to understand what we believe. And the Word of God is our truth that we believe. Someone say amen. Anybody, my two over here. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Isn't this good? Man, if you're struggling out there with a sin or something, get into Romans 6 and meditate on it. Think about it. Pray over it. Ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, just to pop this stuff in you and make it real in your life, in your experience. I love this right here. He says in verse 14, "For sin shall not be your master." I think King James says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." I like that better. "Sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Pam, why shouldn't sin be your master? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. God did for you at the cross, by grace, what you could not do for yourself. This is going to be really important when we go into Romans 7. Because Romans 7 talks about a man's, probably Paul, a man's experience under the law. And if you don't understand that that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 7, you won't get it. You'll undo everything that you did in chapter 6 and chapter 7 if you don't understand. Paul explains what law is like in chapter 7 of Romans. So he is telling us, sin is not our master. Sin has no dominion over us because we're not under law. Law makes a demand on you. Don't lust, don't drink, don't chew, don't run with those who do. But it gives you no power to overcome. Grace comes in and says, hey, you're free. Jesus is here. Accept my grace. Accept my forgiveness. Accept my spirit. Accept my power. Accept everything I did for you in my death, burial, and resurrection. Believe it. Receive it. Accept it. And my grace will work in you. And you will grow in the knowledge of your salvation. You will increase. You'll grow in sanctification. You will. In one hand, you're sanctified one time forever. That's true in Jesus because you're in Jesus. But on the other hand, the way that you work out your salvation, the way you walk in your salvation is a constant progression. On one hand, you are as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're already in Christ, so you're already holy before God without blame. But we're still learning to walk it out as we walk in the Spirit. And we'll be doing that the rest of our life. That's why you can preach victory and understand that no one is probably walking it out perfectly, but God expects us not to sin willfully. He expects us to walk in the Spirit and to walk free from sin and not to commit willful sins. It's not that you won't commit an unwillful sin or something. It's we're not to be willfully sinning. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Hey, you're not under law, you're under grace. Shall we just keep on sinning then? Paul goes back to his original argument. God forbid, by no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself someone to obey as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? This is an argument against people that tell you it doesn't matter if you keep sinning. You're saved by grace. You're just a sinner saved by grace. God doesn't expect you to live righteously. He knows you're just a sinner saved by grace. Heck, that statement conflicts with everything you just read in chapter 6 and everything you're going to read in chapter 8. He says, no, if you obey sin or you surrender your body to sin, you become a slave of sin. And Jesus died so you would be free from sin. See what Paul's saying? You're dead to this. You don't go back and surrender your body to sin. And if you're doing it willfully, you're on the wrong side of God. You're on the wrong side of God's grace there, okay? If you just keep willfully sinning, you know, that God's not pleased with that. He says, don't you know when you offer yourselves to someone to obey as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to what? What does sin lead to? If you are a slave to sin, what does it lead to? Death. Same thing he says in Romans 8. Same thing he says in Galatians 6. Same thing he says in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 11. Or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you, and I taught on this a couple weeks ago, you used to be, remember when I taught on that, Tracy? You used to be an enemy of God. You used to be a slave to sin. Now you have wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Okay, so here's what Paul's saying here. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. He says you used to be, that's past tense, a slave of sin. You write down, I have been set free from sin. Write it down. I, Brad Kittle, have been set free from sin. And he says, now you are a servant or a slave of righteousness. Because you obeyed the teaching, Paul says, that I gave you. This teaching right here that I'm giving you tonight. Let me put this in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh or your understanding. You used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer them, the parts of your body, to slavery to righteousness, which leads to holiness. When you were, there it is again, past tense, when you were a slave to sin, are you a slave to sin now? No, write it down. You were free from the control of righteousness. So Paul was saying, you used to be a slave to sin and you were free from righteousness. You weren't in bondage to righteousness. You were free from righteousness. He says, what benefit did you receive at that time from those things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in what? What do they result in? What does it say? They result in death. Is that physical death? Spiritual death. He's going to say it again in Romans 8. Spiritual death. John says in 1 John 5, there is a sin unto death. I don't ask that you pray for that sin. If someone has committed a sin unto death, don't pray for it. Now, I pray for everybody unless the Lord would tell me, don't pray for that person. I don't know that he ever has told me not to pray for somebody. But John says there is a sin unto death. Don't pray for it. You ever wonder what Jude meant when Jude said that someone is twice dead, plucked up by the roots? Pam, what does he mean, twice dead? You ever think about that? How many out there have ever thought about that? You've read Jude. He says they're twice dead. What does he mean? Do you think about what you're reading? You ever think about it, Tracy? Maybe you've never read it. Okay. Twice dead. You were dead to God. You were alive to sin. You were not born again. You gave your life to Jesus. You got born again. So you were dead. You were born again. You were alive to God. And then you persist in willful sin over and over. Okay. You don't put to death the misdeeds of the body, just like it says in Romans 8, and you die spiritually again. Twice dead. Dead, born again, dead again. Twice dead. Like a pig going back to the mire. Like a dog going back to its vomit. Yeah, he says twice dead. You're plucked up by the roots. I could go more into that. I do not believe the doctrine of once saved, always saved is scriptural. Bible says, I think in three places that your name can be blotted out of the book of life. In Revelation, he says, okay, if you don't do this, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. You can try to get around it. It's in there. Paul talks about falling from grace. There's all kinds of scriptures. Paul talks about crucifying the Lord Jesus afresh and putting him to open shame, and there's no more sacrifice for sin. There's all kinds of things in there, but that's not the purpose of my message. But what he tells you right here, the result of living to sin is death. That's spiritual death he's talking about. We're all going to die a physical death, aren't we, Pam? We already know that. You're going to die. Everyone's going to die. So obviously he's not talking about that. You can live righteous your whole life, but at some point you're going to die. But if you persist in sin and turn yourself over to sin, you can die twice. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. God isn't trying to throw you out of the kingdom. Like if you're struggling with sin, God's not trying to kick you out of the kingdom. If you're having battles, you know, if you're in conflict, God's not trying to throw you out of the kingdom. I truly believe as long as you want to be saved and as long as you want to follow Jesus, and that's the intention of your heart, God will never, ever, ever cast you out. But we do have free will. No one can pluck you out of the Lord's hand. And God will never turn away from you. But you have free will that you can choose to turn around and you can walk away from God. Can you walk away from your husband, ladies? Huh? Can you leave your husband? You have free will to do that? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus is your Lord. You have a free will. You can walk away from the Lord if you want to. Why would you want to? That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? As long as you want to serve God, God will never cast you out, ever. Even when you're struggling with sin, you have to confess it and get back on the path to God. All right, let's go on. There is a sin unto death. That's the rejection of the gospel, the rejection of Jesus. Okay, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. What's the wages of sin? Death. Spiritual? Yeah. Yeah, spiritual death. But the gift of God is what? Life. Eternal life? Yes. Eternal life. In Christ Jesus, the Lord. So next week, we're going to go over Romans chapter 7, and I can't wait because it's a scripture that people confuse. I want to talk about, it's almost 7:45. You just give me 1 minute here because Paul talked about something called holiness here. He said, by following the doctrine or the teaching that he gave here about our death to sin and believing it to be true, it's about faith, folks. You put your faith in the gospel. It's not about your struggling. It's about you drawing near to God and receiving your inheritance from him, receiving your righteousness from him, receiving your manna from him, receiving eternal life from him. It's all a gift. We get it all by faith, but we draw nigh by faith. We reckon it to be true. We seek the Lord. Boom. Amen? We don't earn it. It's all by faith. And he says, the fruit that you get is holiness. The Word of God says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Did you know that? I'm going to let you look that up and figure out where that's at. The Bible says, without holiness, no man, no woman will see the Lord. The Word of God says in the New Testament, now Peter was quoting the law, but Peter said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness has always been God's expectation. Grace is not so you can keep on sinning. Grace is so we can live a holy life, an attractive life, truth tellers, lovers, givers, beautiful people because we're living in righteousness and true holiness. The word says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Kind of echoes that, without holiness, no man will see the Lord, doesn't it? Yeah, Christians are a holy people. Paul approaches things very creatively and very interestingly. In Corinthians, he says we're to be holy because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He is in you. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Now, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us didn't come to live inside of us so we could just keep on sinning. No, the Holy Spirit is in there rearranging our furniture. The Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but He's knocking on my door and making some changes in my life. He's bringing light on areas where I have weakness and struggle, and He's saying, hey, I want to get in here. I'm knocking. Let me in this door here that you've shut. You've got an unforgiveness door. I need to get in there. Knock, knock, knock. I am the Holy Spirit, and I need to get in that door of unforgiveness because you got to get rid of it. I got to lop that branch off of you. You got a little bit of lust in you. I want to purify that. Knock, knock, knock. Let me knock that off of you. I need to get in there. You need to repent and surrender that to me. I got to get in there. And I'm not going to quit knocking and trying to get in there. I'm going to persist. So you're either going to let me in or you're going to run away from me because I ain't going to quit knocking. And I'm not going to change my mind. You got a gossip problem. You talk about people all the time. And you call it prayer or whatever you call it. I said, no, I got to get in there. Let me in that door. It's very unattractive. It's very ugly. It's very divisive. It hurts the church. Let me get in there to lop that off. I am the Holy Spirit. So, folks, is this encouraging to anybody? Am I the only one getting encouraged here? I am very encouraged because sin is the thing in our life that makes us miserable. Sin is a distraction. I've taught this before. Lust never satisfies. It just drills a hole in us that gets deeper and deeper and deeper and never satisfies us. Sin just is like a hollow thing. It just hollows us out and makes us an empty, miserable, wretched person. That's why Paul says in Romans 7, oh, what a wretched man that I am. He's talking about a guy under law living in sin. It makes you wretched. And God says, I don't want you to live wretched. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to live holy. I want you to reflect the image of my Son. You're going to be so happy when you do. You're going to sing, oh, happy day. When Jesus washed, He washed my sins away.